Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is your host, Melissa Bilardi. We are recording live and podcasting all about help for Huntington's disease. The goal every week is to introduce incredible special guests to educate and inspire you. We now have over 5,900 listeners, and so thank you for your support and interest in Help for HD programming. Our call-in numbers are 310-982-4227 and 877-497-4103. When you call in, press 1 and I'll cue you into the show. Please tell all your friends and family about the show and click follow. Click that follow button on your show page, on our show page, to get email reminders of upcoming episodes. And today we have a very unique program about medical cannabis. Will Huff from Grassroots Research and Education is going to talk about the history of cannabis, the different cultures that have used it, and about the cannabinoid system of neuroprotection. Leanne Johnson is going to be up next, and after Will. Leanne Johnson is founder of Canopy Products, Inc. in Palm Springs, and she is here to talk about the industry of medical cannabis and how target-specific products can help give quick relief. So welcome to Help for HD, Will and Leanne. How are you tonight?
Great, thank you, and very pleased to be on the show with your listeners.
Great, I'm so happy to have both of you. So Will, tell us, how did you become involved in grassroots research and education?
Well, thanks for having me on. I was really excited to talk to you today. Grassroots research and education. It was several years ago that there was a group of people working locally under SB 420 and Prop 215 that allows us to grow and provide our own medicine. And I got invited to join that group, and we started providing our own medicine and really researching what the law said and what the provisions were there. And we started attending city council meetings and while educating ourselves, educating them. And with that, we finally were able, with their blessing, to get a storefront-type collective going, and our membership started to grow, and we've continued to be able to exclusively provide and grow our own medicine and be able to give it away to other medicinal patients who really need it. We have quite a few terminal patients that we're taking care of, and really just still educating people on how to take this information to their local city councils and make it work for them and start their own little collectives.
Great. Well, let's talk about the history of cannabis first a little bit, and who has used it in the past?
Well, we were just talking a few minutes ago. You had a great website. You'll probably have that posted up, and you know, there's lots of evidence that it's been around and used for 5,000-6,000 years minimum. There's evidence that it goes farther back, mostly in Central Asia, where they're finding fibers, and with some of the shaman or the medicine men, where they'll have either the seeds or the cannabis or evidence of smoked cannabis in their pouches, and with the clothing and the textiles and the ropes, it's been around for a minimum of 5,000 to 7,000 years.
Wow.
And it really spread from Asia across and just really helped a lot of us with the ropes and the sails really navigate the world. I don't think without hemp we would have done all the things quite as rapidly as we did.
Kind of a miracle plant. Has it been culturally?
Some say it is.
Yeah. Has it been culturally accepted in the past then?
Well, you know, it didn't quite have the stigma that it has now in this century. It's always been in every culture from, like I said, making their textiles and clothing to the ropes, industrial. It was used in war to get them to sail and all that. So hemp in itself didn't have the good or the bad. And then on the other side, you have the medicinal use, which was mostly associated with the shaman, and they had their plant knowledge, and people would go to them and use it medicinally. There was, you know, obviously the recreational use, just like a lot of intoxicating substances. You had that going on, but I don't think it was looked at as either good or bad. It was just part of it. You know, there were certain times in certain cultures where the stigma kind of came and went, but I think recently is pretty much the only time in history that it's really been looked down on the way it is.
Mm-hmm. So you actually gave me a couple of really good references as well. I think let me give our listeners a website to go to for general information about medical marijuana. It's medicalmarijuana.procon.org, and there's just a wealth of information on that site. And I actually found that site through Leanne Johnson, who we'll talk to in a minute. But tell us, you gave me some links regarding Dr. Raphael Meshulam that were really helpful, too. Can you talk
to him? Yeah, he's one of the guys, you know, now that I've started doing some research that I really look up to. It was probably in the mid-60s when his research really isolated the THC compound, started telling us how the compound interacted with our body. Before that, it was speculated that THC and the cannabis just acted on the membranes of the body, kind of like a local anesthetic. But he, through isolating the THC and several other compounds in the plant, they went on to discover that there is a certain mechanism going on with specific receptors for the THC. So he really pushed the research in cannabis and the plant and everything that's going on there forward a lot.
Kind of our pioneer, right?
He really is.
For the
pioneer
world,
in the scientific research. He's doing a lot of good work, and a lot of good further research has come from his work, and he's still doing his work. He's based out of the Hebrew University in Jerusalem in Israel. He has a lot of good stuff. You probably will be posting some links, a lot of good speeches and articles about his information. So he is usually one of the first persons that I will try to educate people about. Go and look
right
at him. There are a couple other people that are up on the list. But, yeah, he's definitely a pioneer in the research of
cannabis.
I think
that was one of the first links that you gave me a while back when I was you know, inquiring. Because, you know, really, it is all about education and research. And this is a very historical substance. This is not something new. It's not something that just popped up recently. This is, you know, something that has been around for thousands and thousands of years. And what they found is that, you know, our bodies have receptors for this the compounds that are in cannabis. So tell us, now he did isolate the compounds in cannabis. And what are the compounds? Let's talk about that.
Well, you have a few different compounds. Most of the first one is the THC, which, you know, most people are familiar with. And that's the one that primarily gives you the euphoric, or what most people will call the high, when you're using the cannabis plant. You have a couple other peripheral compounds that really are just the THC breaking down, which are a CBD compound, which is a cannabinoid. All three of these would be cannabinoid compounds. You have the THC, and then the CBD, which is the secondary, and then a CBN. And they all interact together, depending on the ratios, will have different kind of effects on the body. And using those ratios, you can really start targeting the symptoms that you're trying to alleviate. So it was really exciting that he was able to distinguish the three and how they're working with these receptors that you just talked about, which are very unique in the way they work, and I think we're going to talk about that in just a second.
Okay, so let's talk about the cannabinoid receptors in the body. What are the cannabinoid receptors?
Well, they're still kind of under research. They are kind of specific to cannabinoids themselves. A lot of other receptors in our body can receive multiple types of chemicals and compounds to them, know what to do with them, distribute them, or send the information out. The CB1 and the CB2 are very specific to cannabinoids, which generally come from the cannabis plant. We do also have some indigenous cannabinoids in our body that will be released under certain activities and different things of that nature. Dr. Meshulam talks about that too, and it's good to understand how that works, because it was our indigenous cannabinoids that helped them give them the ability to recreate or synthesize the THC molecule.
Mm-hmm.
So basically we have the THC and the CBD, which is a cannabidiol, and the CBN, which is then a further compound of THC. And like I said, the ratios of those compounds really affect the cannabis and how it's used and where it really targets.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then there are other, is it a compound? Is anandamide a compound?
Anandamide is is another cannabis or cannabinoid compound.
Oh.
I believe that the anandamide is the naturally occurring cannabinoid inside of the body.
Oh. So that's the indigenous cannabinoid.
That is the indigenous, the anandamide. And
okay.
Dr. Mashulam, who discovered that indigenous one, who named it anandamide.
Okay. And then there's another one, cannabinol.
Cannabidiol.
Diol.
Yeah.
Okay,
and that's the CBD.
That's the CBD. Okay, now, so what does that one do?
This one, the CBD, mostly has sedative effects. Now, a lot of this information is coming from animal testing and just some reporting back from medicinal patients. But a lot of this information is coming from some of the links that you'll post up there and some of the research that's out there. And like I said, trying to put it all in layman's terms here, the CBDs will give you more of the sedative effects.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they are saying that when you interact with the CBD and the CBN, the more that you have in your plant, the longer lasting the THC effects will be, because it slows down the metabolism of the THC. So then you have a few different types of plants coming along with higher content of CBD and CBNs, which will target different areas and allow the effectiveness of the cannabis to last longer, because your body won't break it down so quickly. So with all this new research, we're really learning a lot of the idiosyncrasies of how to use the plant, how to target it. I think your next host is going to have some good information on how to really use the plant and just all the different varieties in which to use it.
Now, one thing we need to talk about, a little bit more about, is the cannabinoid system and neuroprotection. We didn't really talk about that, and that's really important, and that's part of the reason why, you know, a lot of people are using cannabis, because it protects the neurons in the brain. Is that what it is?
That's what they're finding. Is some of the research is saying that the CB1 and CB2 receptors have a lot to do with the regulatory systems of a few different things. Your appetite is one of them. Some of the things that go on in your brain is another, with memory, post-traumatic disorders, things of that nature. They're finding that it helps you forget in a good way. a lot of people think of short-term memory loss as the first thing, but there's a lot of research out there that says that there's a lot of good forgetting to be done, and this helps your mind do some of that forgetting. Some of your, like I said, your intestinal regulation. So they found in research, when they start tampering with the CB receptors, that the rats and mice, more than likely, things start going wrong with them as far as their appetites, tumors start coming on, their regulatory systems don't work properly. And so this is just some of the early indicators of how the CB1 and 2 are acting and what does happen when you attach cannabinoids to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it is promising, because, like I said, they are able then to kind of target specific symptoms with certain diseases.
Right.
Specifically Huntington's disease, with the appetites, the pains, mm-hmm. and things of that nature. They can they're understanding what's going on and how to really attack the receptors themselves.
Actually, August 29th, Diana Dunkelberger will be with us on the show to discuss the immune system and the role of cannabinoid receptors in the pathogenesis of Huntington's disease. So that's a mouthful, but basically they are studying it in the mouse model, and they're finding that when they block these CB2 receptors, the mice don't suckle, they wither and die. So, they, you know, these receptors have a purpose. They're there in our body because we need them. And if we can help them along by protecting neurons in the brain, why not, right?
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear Diana. She's going to be able to talk a lot more about what we're kind of introducing people to today, putting it out in layman's terms. I don't know all the scientific facts, but like you just said, when they start tampering.
Just to let our listeners know, you know, we are not scientists, but we do research. We are reading and looking up information all the time to help our people. And, you know, that's kind of the goal for the show, is to help our HD people and JHD people. And so anyway, I appreciate all the research that you're doing, and continue all of that research and continue sharing and helping our patients, you know.
I appreciate it, too. I really like pointing people in these directions and turning them on to people like Dr. Mashulam. I know that we have your next guest coming on shortly.
Yeah.
One other person that we didn't get to mention that I'm a real advocate for, his name is Rick Simpson. And he's been doing some work really trying to heal some people out there. He's taking cannabis, and he's putting it into some concentrated edible forms, and he's really had some good progress and some good feedback. So he's another person that, if people are not familiar with the medicinal background of it, between Rick Simpson and Dr. Mashulam, that really gives people kind of a good foundation of research to start with, because from there you start finding all kinds of stuff.
Yep, I have listed those links on Facebook. If you guys are on Facebook, it's in the event list. There's Run from the Cure with Rick Simpson. These are YouTube links that will take you right to YouTube, and you can watch them. But I need to break in here. And again, I just want to thank you for coming on the show and for all the work that you're doing. And I want to say hey to everybody there at Grassroots. We love you. James says hi. And so let me just break in here for a second. There's James. He says, hi. You're listening to Help for HD. This is Melissa, your host, and our incredible special guests tonight are Will Huff and Leanne Johnson. Our call-in numbers, again, are 310-982-4227 and 877-497-4103. We are recording live now, but you may listen again right after the end of the show. Just give about an hour to propagate through the website. And so now we're going to bring on Leanne Johnson. She's founder of the Cannabis Products Incorporated. Hi, Leanne. How are you?
Good, thank you. Excuse me.
It's so wonderful to have you on the show. Tell us a bit about your background.
I am originally from South Africa. In Africa, the culture is deep in, from the healing aspect, and a lot of herbal remedies, a lot of old wives' tales, and cultural hand-me-downs. One of those traditional methods is the aromatherapy and reflexology and homeopathy, which a lot of students study while studying traditional nursing and doctor's courses. And my sister-in-law at the time was studying nursing, but had ADHD, and I was studying business management, international marketing, and the human resources and industrial psychology element. So I kind of got to study her while teaching her how to study, as well as getting her materials. So it kind of stuck, and I got a passion for that that kind of natural way of healing. And I just used it for personal use over the years until a few years ago I got diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and then later found out I got misdiagnosed and I might actually have MS. I choose to use natural ways to be able to heal, and have learned about the wonderful powers of cannabis and experienced it firsthand. That I've just seen close to a lot of members of my family, as well as friends and colleagues that have just suffered unnecessarily and had to take one kind of medication to counteract another medication. And started looking for really good natural alternatives in my life, as well as for my husband. And because he's had multiple back surgeries. So we kind of partnered up together and started looking for these natural alternatives to be able to use without being judged. But there was really nothing out there. Everything was a kind of smoking solution. So there's nothing that you can really use on the go in your lifestyle or, you know, without changing it. You really don't want to have pain controlling your life or just, you know, partaking in things that could have a negative influence on your life choices.
Drugs.
So exactly, you know, you start getting all these connotations. You're a bad parent. How could you? You're looking for the best choice of being able to, you know, preserve your own longevity and not have a have to take all these drugs that have negative effects on other parts of your system, your organs, et cetera. And it takes a long time to get rid of these things out of your system to get back to where you need to be. So it's almost like you keep depressing yourself to a worse and worse state as opposed to progressing and having the chance to heal naturally to get out of it. You're basically beating your immune system down when you need it the most. We figured, let's learn from nature and started experimenting with some of the things that I learned that my sister-in-law had studied. And personally, we're achieving some really good results. And friends and family were seeing how much it improved our lifestyle and ability to, you know, take care of our responsibilities. And slowly but surely, people went to the share, and we led them through the education process and got them hooked up with the correct recommendations and then started sharing our remedies. And with certain life instances, we actually ended up having to, you know, reinvigorate ourselves and were able to put ourselves into this full time in order to, you know, help with our finances. And it's been great to be able to create an existence for our family, as well as being able to bring this wonderful remedy and change so many people's lives.
Well, so you're doing something that most most of us really don't, we're not able to do. We don't understand the homeopathic properties of cannabis. But with your background, you were able to really focus in and channel the benefits of the cannabis, right? And that's what you're bringing to the industry is your knowledge and you know, producing medical cannabis products. I love your products. I'm completely hooked on all of your products to help my son. And you know, you don't have to smoke everything. You can use topicals. You can use sublinguals. You can, you know, use tinctures and essences and salts and that kind of thing. That's what your products are so beautifully made. But I know
process
there's
creating balance.
Go ahead.
The process is about creating balance. So it's about finding the correct cannabinoid delivery systems in order to achieve that balance of a pain-free state or an anti-anxiety state, to be able to manage the delivery of the cannabinoids to not get the negative effects of getting high or feeling like you're not fully aware or in control of your actions, so that you can be on the go and managing your pain and not be judged for your choices.
Products with a purpose.
Exactly. And everything is specifically formulated for each one of the purposes that the remedy is created for. So we'll pick specific herb types in the indica variety as well as in the sativa variety, depending on the purpose of the remedy that we're creating.
That's wonderful. Okay, well, now you've probably had some legal obstacles, right, to what you're doing. And, that's got to be a difficult hurdle, but how do you get around all of that?
The way we get around it is because we do not deal directly with the patients. We provide a service to the cooperative collective. It's basically like we bring in the outside consulting services, which we are able to charge fees for and have a monetary compensation for. So everything that we charge for, invoice for, et cetera, is a service basis of creating the possibility of these products for the patient base of the collectives within our collective network. So we're basically a collective of collectives that to provide these services to the collectives who then supply the services to their patients. So that's where the legality comes in and where all the paperwork has to come in, is servicing directly with the end consumer versus servicing the clubs and patient groups that provide the service to the patient.
Right. Now, do you have any control over what the supplier charges, because you're the producer?
I'm not. What we have come against is that certain individuals do choose to create the perception of having a legitimate nonprofit, collective servicing entity, but run it like a business. So they decide what's best for that entity versus where a true collective decides to provide products which is in the best interest of their patient group.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the instances, we aren't able to get services to the patient because of that legal stumbling block of having to work with an organization that you cannot control how they operate.
Right.
So about trying to make those good network clusters, introduce connections in order to find the right group of people to work with to ensure that you can reach the patient in a way where they're not getting taken advantage of, and then it becomes an acceptable solution for them.
Right.
And that they're being provided the correct education as well, and being guided to make the correct choices for the intent of what they're using this remedy for.
Yeah, sometimes, the patient does kind of get stiffed, I might say. But, if that's the case, you really need to explore other options because, the patient is supposed to be taken care of, not taken advantage of. So, that's one thing that we all have to kind of look out for and be alert to that. And I can happily say I've not had that experience with either of your business or of Grassroots. You've always been really, really kind and helpful to your patients who need it the most.
The way we try to ensure that the patients aren't taken advantage of is we're very upfront as to what our manufacturer's suggested patient reimbursement is for any of the remedies that we help to provide to the patient. So if that verbal agreement does get broken in any way and we do find out that people have been overcharged or, had to overcompensate for something, we do actually take away the possibility of providing that service.
Yeah.
We would rather walk away and find a different way of getting to that patient in a legal, legitimate way than have the patient taken advantage of. So sometimes it does provide a situation where for a period of time the patient might have limited access, but we've got such a good patient access. We're very open and accessible for our patients, and our email addresses and websites are on everything. So the true patients that really rely on our products are in constant communication with us. So we are able to answer these situations, and we are able to help them plan while we withdraw and find an alternative solution to make sure that we keep in that patient-centric model.
Right. So now, are you working on some new products right now?
We are, yes, but unfortunately, again, it's been we're kind of trying to supply the demand, which is there before we've even made our official launch because there are phenomenal getting
Don't
out.
Don't spill the beans.
The first product that we're kind of in the moment is the e-joint system, which is an electronic device. It's one of the only ones that I know of right now that's true vapor technology, in that you're only inhaling a vaporized product, vegetable glycerin that gets vaporized at a low heat. And this natural vegetable glycerin is infused with a high dose of cannabinoids.
Okay, let me break in real quick, Liani. We're getting ready to go off the live stream already. And everyone who's listening, come back around, listen to the unscripted behind-the-scenes version. And I want to thank you both, Will and Liani, for a super educational and informative program and for doing what you do to help people in dire need. We appreciate you so much. For questions or input regarding today's episode, you can reach Will at Grassroots Research and Education in Santa Barbara and Liani at www.cannabee.com. And, of course, you can reach me at helpforhd@yahoo.com. And please don't hesitate to contact me with any questions or suggestions about content for programming. And I wish everybody good night. And don't forget to come back around, listen to the show, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for tuning in to Help for HD. Okay, we're off live already. Can you believe
that?
So I didn't mean to interrupt you, Leanne. I'm sorry, but I had to do that last spiel. And I didn't get to make my announcements, but that's okay. We'll do it later after we're talking. But thank you, both of you. Gosh, good information. And I think, you know, we need to put more information on the Blog Talk Radio here, I think. Don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I look forward to see what kind of feedback you get and stuff like that. Yeah. And if they ask for more, then that's what we'll give them.
Well, we didn't even talk about the curative properties of cannabis, which, I mean, that's a big one, right?
It varies. I'm actually really, really, really intrigued as to the possibilities. We're actually working on a cannabinoid-loading therapy diet regimen.
Cool.
The idea would be to, you know, basically borrow off of the Rick Simpson and Dr. Michelle and the My Guy Light School of what I've got today. So it's kind of cool. But anyway, the idea is basically borrowing from his whole philosophy, but trying to improve the patient experience and try to get a kind of natural organic level so we can hit up more of the cancer patients, HIV patients, like, cannot deal with anything that's come anywhere near anything that's chemically processed or alcoholically processed because it can kill them even further. So the idea is to be able to almost get cannabinoid loading as part of your lifestyle, but without having to smoke or be aware of getting cannabis into your system.
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming up with an essence that's a natural alternative to tincture. And you can use that in your diet. And you can, because it's a sweet and natural vegetable glycerin base, it's very sweet. There's none of that burn because you didn't use any alcohol. So you can use it in recipes really easily without, as a natural sweetening agent, without changing the balance of the recipe like you have to traditionally with bug butter. And you can get the strength up higher because you can super suspend into the glycerin. So you can make some really powerful dressings and things. And if you use it in dressings, you can manage the strength based on what you need throughout the day.
Yeah.
Hey, Leanne, are you familiar with Rick Simpson?
Rick Simpson?
I think that she is. I think that's one of the people that she was mentioning.
Oh, okay, I didn't know. I didn't hear that.
So the whole idea was basically based on what his idea was of getting as much connected into your system as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Through looking from the patient experience to make it, how do you put that into practice and make it possible where a patient will actually stick to it?
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't taste good, you're not going to be able to ingest enough of it to be able to,
right,
to get those results. So for us, it was to kind of look at a way to make it pleasant.
That's a real obstacle
because, and I know especially with people with HD, their olfactory senses are totally jacked up. They're very heightened. They're very very crazy. I mean, I found that with my own son that even smells can just set him into vomiting. You know, and
he likes the smell of the cannabis, right?
Yes, but not certain foods. Like if I try to cook with edibles, and he can't eat the edibles after I cook them.
The combination of certain foods.
So
what I'm thinking about, it would be things like smoothies, because you could make really good, nutritious hemp-based smoothies that you could sweeten naturally with fruits and the essence. More of that kind of, basically, it would be like a Weight Watchers guide, but based on small portions that taste really good, so that it won't be a big deal for a patient to have to face to ingest it, but they're getting all the balanced nutrition they need.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is the next project I want to work on, and I'm looking for a really good dietitian to work with it on, because I want it to be like a meal replacement thing. You know, where it's all organic and very small portions, but you're able to get everything you need, your pain management, all your calories, all your nutrition that you need without overdoing it.
That would be
That's
wonderful.
That's great. We had talked to, I think I talked to Melissa about smoothies because we give her a product that she cooks with in a variety of ways, and smoothies is a wonderful way to do it, and that's great because she deals with, you know, somebody whose appetite and is a little bit finicky with food. So finding those foods that, the product mixes well with and tastes well with and complements, you know. You use it as a spice in some cases or to complement fruits in another. So, it's really a lot of fun.
It's challenging, too.
Yes, and it is challenging, too.
Yeah, it's really challenging to figure out what foods we can even cook for the day, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's on a by-minute.
That's why the whole idea is to come up with a kind of recipe book of collective dietary, like really good dietary ideas that are simple and quick so people in that position don't have to think about it. But it's
like
every day in the house, natural life, organic material.
Mm-hmm. I like your meal replacement idea really a lot, and a lot of people with Huntington's have really bad issues with swallowing.
Mm-hmm.
So having a meal replacement that's infused would be very helpful for them because they can't, you know, at that point they can't swallow pills. Some of them have G-tubes, so they're not able to eat or swallow. And having a meal replacement can be put right into the G-tube and still give them the benefit of,
having those cannabinoids come in and getting enough of them in there.
Mm-hmm.
Ingesting the plant is the best way to get the amount of cannabinoids you need in the body. Smoking it doesn't do a lot as far as flooding the body. Rick Simpson, like we mentioned before, has shown a lot of promise with flooding the body with the cannabinoids, and I think she's got a lot of great recipes she's coming up with that are really high in cannabinoids and still palatable and make it easy for people to get that into their system. I think that's going to be the promise of the future when we really understand, and like she alluded to, you can flood your body with cannabinoids and not have the euphoric high effect and still maintain your daily routine and get benefits from it, you know? So
I have to tell you guys, I truly don't think my son would be alive without cannabis right now because of all of the challenges of trying to keep food in him. I mean, he lost 100 pounds in about a year's time, and that would have kept going had we not been able to get enough cannabinoid in him.
Yeah.
Give them appetite and that kind of thing. But also, you know, the emotional aspect. You know, we haven't really talked about the emotional aspect of what cannabis does. And it really calms a person and it gives them, like that forgetfulness that our patients to remember all the pain and suffering they're going through, right? So that kind of helps with that too. And there's just so many benefits I just can't believe.
That's a little bit of what I was alluding to. A lot of people think short-term memory, but there is a lot to be said, and even Dr. Mishulam, when you listen to him, there's a lot to be said for forgetting well. You know, your brain understands what's important and what's not important, and will, in a lot of times when using cannabis, is able to disregard a lot of the stuff that will bring down a person's psyche. That's sometimes a hard topic to talk about, this emotional state and the psychological healing that can come with the plant use. Introducing the scientific facts to people is generally how I get my foot in the door. And then we're able to talk about some of this emotional healing that goes on with the patients, the psychological healing, the anxieties and the stress healings that also come, from using the plant in all the different ways.
Well,
so,
in Huntington's disease, you know, the brain is being attacked 24/7 all the time.
Yeah.
It never stops. And, you know, eventually what happens is, you know, the brain cells die, and that's what causes the movement disorders and other no symptoms. And so what is happening, I feel what's happening with my son is that the cannabis is protecting the neurons and keeping him from having really severe symptoms.
Yeah, real quickly to add, we might hear from Diana a little bit about the brain cells and the cannabinoids. There has been some research that suggests in mice that the THC and the cannabinoids actually help reproduce and regenerate brain cells not only protect but go a little bit above and beyond. We're finding that in cancer cells as well.
Uh-huh.
What happens is the receptor that's there, then a cannabinoid will come along, and it will remind that cell to die. Because that's what's happening with a lot of the cancers is you get a cell that doesn't die, and then it becomes a tumor, and it's now just a growth, which
mm-hmm.
began a healthy cell and has forgotten how to keep going. Well, then the cannabinoids remind the cell how to die. So another way the cannabinoids in the brain and all over the body, I think your listeners, another key word I like to... Yeah.
That study, whatever you found.
I will definitely pass that along. A lot of this information, it's a really easy Google search.
Yep.
THC and cancer. Just those two words in your Google, and you'll start coming up with a lot of scientific, the Harvard studies, the studies over in Spain, Dr. Meshulam in Israel, and you really start getting all that scientific evidence that's out there. The brain, the cancer, healing properties, the homeopathic, the ingestibles, the topicals, it just starts going on and on. And it's really good that we're able to now come on radio and talk to and network. It sounds like she's got the same kind of motivation. It's about networking people together and educating them and keeping their healing power in their own hands and going that route with it.
I agree with that.
A simple quote that I found online that explains the role of cannabinoids, especially related to Huntington's disease. And it says that is my understanding of the term neurogenesis in this context means that the cannabinoid ingestion will interact with the brain's receptors meant to process cannabinoids, and that the results will be more hippocampus cells. When you consider that the hippocampus is a human black box flight recorder and that our personalities, quality of life, are directly dependent on our recordable memory, then this is a bliss. The hippocampus is made up of only 20,000 brain cells, which have critical function. So, since it's only 20,000 brain cells, it does lead you to believe that it is probable with enough cannabinoid loading and the fact that it has been proven that you could revert progression.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So a lot of promise.
There is.
Finding people that are willing to actually try and figure this out as opposed to wait for somebody else to do it.
Well, and then, of course, we have the problem being that, the use of medical marijuana is only legal in, 16 states plus D.C., and then we have another 10 states that are pending legislation to legalize. So, we're dealing with a government system that is not looking out for the best interest of the patient right now. And
the funny thing is about the government, another link I can show is they actually have a patent on this concentrated cannabinoid oil, the government does. So They know what's out there. I can go on there. I'll send that site. And they list everything that we've been talking about, the inflammatory, the regenerative cells, and the cancer stuff is listed right in the patent selection on a page. So the information's coming out. They can't keep the lid on it for too much longer.
I have a bit of trivia for you guys tonight. Okay, I went on your site, the site that Leanne had on her website. It's called medicalmarijuana.procon.org.
Yeah.
And under historical timeline, this is hysterical, actually.
Yeah.
in 1619, America's first marijuana law enacted at Jamestown Colony, Virginia, ordering all
mandating
families to
the growth of hemp.
Trial or grow Indian hemp seed more mandatory must-grow hemp cultivation laws are enacted in Massachusetts in 1631, in Connecticut in 1632, and so on. So, you know,
yeah.
Cannabis hemp has been used for centuries, and I mean, that's what our country was founded on, right? I mean,
yeah, there,
like
it,
you said, rope,
all time
paper,
through history, you were able to pay
clothing.
Your tax and tribute
yeah.
with a crop of hemp. You know, it was that valuable. So, like we mentioned before, it didn't really have the negative stigma that it has today. Now, we had, you know, shaman and medicine men held their own stigma in cultures, but I think that's as far as it ever went, as far as the cannabis plant. So, people
well,
are starting to come.
That was before Western doctors, right?
Well, that was before, you know, we hear a lot of pharmaceuticals and big money kind of came into it before it was, you know, and then it got portrayed as snake oil. So it just kind of comes and goes. You know, we had some early
mm-hmm.
century propaganda and we're still trying to overcome some of all of that. So
yeah, hopefully we can because, it, you know, it really is a wonderful property product, compound, whatever you want to call it, medicine, and it's been helping my son for a number of years, and
yeah.
I'm hoping
well,
that
with people like you
continue.
Broadcasting it on the radio, and Leonie yeah. Continuing to make the topicals and the edibles, and
mm-hmm.
educating people on just how healing it can be when used properly and understood, it's going to go a long way, and as long as with the researchers like Rick Simpson and Dr. Mashulam are doing what they do, and as long as we continue to tell people what they are doing, it'll continue to grow, and we keep working together in the way that we're doing, like Leonie's doing, and the way that we're doing here. And maintaining our own healing and our own health is a human right, and that's kind of
that's
what
true.
Our underlying premise is, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Melissa, could you explain a little bit how the e-joint is helping your son and what kind of context it's helping him?
Because it's not a smoke, it's a vapor. And so in a number of ways, it helps with his appetite because his appetite is absolutely zero without it. And, you know, he does use other products, but because the vapor goes directly in, and it's almost immediately bioavailable. I mean, it's boom, it's there. So he can eat shortly after he medicates. And without it, he really has a lot of difficulty eating or having an
mm-hmm.
appetite or even sleeping sometimes.
And what's his disability like? You know, because I know that with muscle dystrophy, et cetera, just, you know, the complexity of the parts could be an issue. Is it possible for him to use?
Which one?
The e-joint.
It's very easy for him to use, and we've just had a difficulty in getting it. That's the main thing, is that we've had a problem getting the product. So because you're the supplier, we've had problems getting it from the delivery people. Or you're the producer.
Yeah.
We've had trouble getting it from the supplier.
And that's the legal thing that we're coming across, which is, you know, trying to find, because we have to work through a collective, so it's really, we have kind of open invite, like, please, if there's any really true patient-centric questions out there, please contact us. We really do want to get this out, and we do try to make it as affordable as possible.
I really appreciate that.
Today, it's meant to cost the patient no more than it would for a traditional cost in order to have delivery mechanism.
Well, and see, the thing is, too, when you can't get one product, then you have to go to another product, and that may or may not be as easy for the patient to use, or, you know, it may or may not be as bioavailable to the patient as well. So then, you know, it's a constant kind of, you know, wrestling with different products that you're trying to get a good result from. So it's you know, once you find a good combination of products or a system that you can really kind of dial in on the patient's needs, then you really have accomplished something, because it's really difficult to find that good balance, like you said. You know, it's all about balancing and finding the right products that can help the patient. So, you know, I feel really sorry for the people who don't have the ability to get cannabis, and because I've seen so many good benefits, personally witnessed so many good benefits, and like I said, I really truly don't think James, my son, would be alive without it, because he's been on, put on so many detrimental drugs, narcotics from, you know, doctors that they're, you know, probably trying to help, but they aren't helping when they're putting somebody with his conditions on high levels of narcotics. So, in other words,
yeah,
what's happening is, you know, we are decreasing his narcotics without the help of a hospital and doctors. And what the cannabis does is it alleviates, it eliminates a lot of the harsh withdrawals from coming down off the narcotic pain medications.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really amazing plant. I'm just really in awe of it. And I never thought in a million years I'd be talking about it on public radio, but here I am.
That's wonderful.
So,
Melissa, I do have to cut out shortly.
Okay.
I wanted to thank you again for having me on. I think that you could probably get the two of us in touch, and maybe we can, once Diana has come back on, Liani and I can come back on and continue to talk.
I'd love that. Yeah,
maybe we can kind of touch more on some of the healing basis. You know, the family healing, the emotional healing that can go on. When you introduce it to families, it can be a good thing.
That's true.
So
okay, well,
I appreciate the time today, Liani. Thank you,
thank you
for being on the show and sharing the time today. And Melissa, we look forward to seeing you guys up here pretty soon.
Okay, hopefully soon. Talk to you later.
Yes.
Thank you, Will.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Liani, thank you so much for everything that you're doing. And I'm very excited to see what products you'll be coming out with next. And I think you're an amazing person. And I'm really impressed with what you've done thus far, and I can't wait to see what you're going to be doing next. So, you know,
I look forward to being in touch to see how we can help make things a little bit easier for your son.
Yes. Well, we'll talk after the show goes off, and we'll touch base again and figure out what we can do to get things better for him, and appreciate everything that you're doing.
Thank you. Oh, I did a little FYI, a little general knowledge thing. Anatomide,
okay,
the actual cannabinoid in our bodies that's traditionally created within our natural endocannabinoid system,
uh-huh,
levels can actually be increased with the intake of coffee and chocolate.
Oh, that's great news.
It interacts with the CB1 and CB2 receptors and creates anatomic systems, increased levels.
Maybe,
yeah,
maybe that stimulation, the stimulant effect is good. Chocolate is always good.
My essence in my coffee in the morning to get myself going to increase the effectiveness.
Oh, that's wonderful news. Well, you know, I personally don't use any of the product because I don't really need it right now. But you know, I will pass that information along. And I think we had a great show today, and I really appreciate everything that you're doing again. And we'll be talking soon.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye. Texting. Bye.